was not yours to give. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. said, I believe my folks gonna get themselves together and walk a stronger mile. Trying to get some place in the human race. So how we need to see our lady smile. I said, I believe, do you believe, like I believe, brothers are gonna walk a stronger mile. I just can't wait because I need to see black babies smile. I said, I believe, brothers holding back to love. Yes, and if you ain't blind, you've been digging this time, yeah. Brothers coming on, brothers coming on.
I think we should assume that we are now being webcast. I want to thank Otis again for doing that technical work with us to broadcast, to webcast the meeting. On the call at this point, we have Pete Bramson, David Furtick, Carol Spooner, George Barnstone, Janice K. Bryant, Teresa Allen, A.C. Bird, myself, Leslie Kagan. Dan Coughlin and Lonnie Hicks from the National Office are also on the call. And this meeting was convened to review the revised budgets for fiscal year 04 and take any necessary and appropriate action on the budgets. But before we get to that, there is one other order of business that needs to be raised. And simply put, the as I think everybody remembers, with the passing of Bert Lee at the beginning of October, a seat was opened up on this Interim Pacifica board. The rules of the settlement, the terms of the settlement agreement, are spelled out that to replace somebody, notice needs to be written, notice needs to be given to the chair of the interim board. The old board majority has informed me that that they would like to appoint Lydia Brazan to that seat. I've also been informed by George Barnstone and by Dan Coughlin that a fax to me from George explaining their desire to appoint Lydia was sent to me, but the fax at my office is broken, so I have not gotten it, so a fax was sent to Dan Coughlin in the National Office to get to me, but I have not seen that yet. Therefore, I am ruling that until I actually get the facts, which should be sometime tomorrow, that Lydia not be seated as a member of this interim board.
Motion overruled.
All right, second.
Okay, who made the motion, George?
I did.
Okay, and David, second?
Well, second, noting that the chair is only making this from a technical perspective of not having physically seen it, not with any intent to prevent the seating of the board member.
That is absolutely correct. It is totally on technical grounds based on the terms of the settlement agreement and the litigious nature of the Pacifica community. So, is there any conversation, any comments that anybody wants to make?
This is Pete. I just have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Before we move forward on this, can I have George just actually read the letter?
Yes. Dear November 24, 2003, Ms. Leslie Kagan, Chairman, Interim Pacifica National Board, facts, numbers, both her New York number and her and the number for the Pacifica National, Pacifica all this. Dear Leslie, per the December 2001 settlement agreement, which both you and I signed, quote, settlement agreement, one, appointment of interim board of directors, .. B, the group or person that selected any director has the right to appoint a successor in the event of resignation, death, or disability of the director, and any such action by the selecting group or person shall be effective immediately upon notice to the chair of the interim board. Any such notice may be given by personal delivery, overnight courier, or facsimile, close quote. By way of this notice, fax to your workplace and the Pacifica Foundation office, this is to inform you that the former majority has chosen Lydia Brazon to fill Bertram Lee's position on the Interim Pacifica National Board. Upon receipt of this facsimile communication, please send a memo stating that Lydia Brazon is recognized as a full voting member of the Interim Pacifica National Board. Su amigo, George.
And
her fax machine at the office was not working. I faxed it to the Pacifica National Board, and Dan Coughlin confirmed receipt of it. I asked Dan to digitize it and email it to her so that she'd have it. He couldn't do that because it was down at the Pacifica National Office. I asked him to call her and read it to her, and I presume he did.
And if I may, this is Dave Furtick. I just wanted to note, I want to thank AC and George for doing what I tried to do 2 years ago, and that is literally almost to the day to get Lydia to take this role, and I appreciate that. She's finally been persuaded.
Okay, are there other comments on the motion?
I call a question.
Well, I hear somebody saying, so let's
see.
Teresa,
I'm a little bit confused. Is she intending to continue as the chair of the KPFK local advisory board at the same time?
I don't believe there's any conflict in that, although that's her choice.
And that's not relevant to this discussion.
Well, I don't think it's irrelevant.
Teresa?
I just would like to ask that question.
Can I comment on that?
Sure. You can answer,
can I respond that? Okay. My original intention was I was going to resign immediately. I know Dave Furtick's opinion was that I didn't have to. I spoke to Dave Adelson, and he said the only thing when they were going through the settlement agreement was that if you were one of the reps on the national board chosen by the lab, that it could not be the lab chair. And that was the only thing that precluded from me. I don't mind resigning at all. I would welcome it. But I'm not. I haven't been able to get in touch with Quasi, who is the vice chair, to do so if that's going to happen. So I have to discuss it with him, and it would depend on his schedule, whether he would be able to assume those responsibilities for the rest of the time.
Okay. Again, just so everyone's clear, what the motion on the floor is to overturn my ruling. My ruling was that Lydia not be seated until tomorrow when I actually can see the written memo. So the motion on the floor is to overturn my ruling.
I have, this is Teresa, I have another question.
Okay, and then we're going to call the question.
Thank you.
I think AC had indicated that.
All right. Well, we're going to be making some pretty tough decisions tonight about the budget, and I'm wondering, I mean, since If she hasn't read the material.
She has the material.
She has read the material.
Yes.
Well, Teresa, when you finish your comment,
Wait, folks. Teresa, were you done?
I just wanted an answer to that question.
Okay. I think there was somebody, AC, I think it was, said he wanted to call the question. Can we move to this vote?
Yes.
Okay, everybody understand what you're voting on?
Yes.
Okay, Pete?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Carol?
may be able to come back.
Okay, George?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
Abstain.
AC?
Yes.
And I'm not voting on this question, obviously. Carol, are you there? Okay, I guess that's also no vote. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses, so it carries.
Welcome, Lydia.
Thank you.
Welcome, Lydia.
Welcome, Lydia.
Okay. My sympathies, Lydia.
Now, the next order of business is the revised budget.
Excuse me, Leslie?
Yes. Yes.
Could we get back to my question?
Yes.
Since I don't have it, it just came today and I can't catch up with the super. Should I just I can continue to go down there and try to catch him when he comes in. But shall I just sit here and listen, or what do you suggest?
Yeah. Janice, this is Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have access to the internet?
I can't, not while I'm on the telephone, no. I only have one line.
Yeah, I think it would be important if you were able to join the call.
I would urge that you stay on the call also.
Okay.
And that if at any point something isn't clear, because you don't have the material in front of you, then you should, you know, ask whoever is speaking to fill you in. And let's see how that works. If it becomes totally onerous, you know, and impossible, then we'll figure out what to do. But let's at least give it a try.
Okay, in about half an hour, I'll go down and see if he's come in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I would like to do here is to turn this over now, at least the beginning part of this, to Lonnie, as CFO, and or Dan, whichever one of you, to explain what's here, and then be open to any questions. And then we know in the material you sent there were several resolutions that you wanted us to take action on also. But first, could you just give us an overview and, you know, point out the highlights here?
Yeah, thank you very much, Les. Let me add my welcome to Lydia, to the Pacifica National Board, and I know all your creativity and energies and experience are going to be needed over the next few months, which have posed really some, I think, unexpected challenges, would be fair to say, certainly compared to September. Just to give you all a kind of big picture idea of what the problem
is. I'm sorry, Dan, I have to interrupt.
Yeah.
Carol, are you on the call? If Carol's on the call, we don't have a secretary on the call.
Maybe somebody needs to try to call her.
Could somebody do that? Somebody have another phone, Andy?
I will.
Okay.
I'll call her.
I have an extra line. I can call her while you're installed.
Okay, and in the meantime, though, I assume that this is being recorded, as they all are. So let's, I guess, proceed. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, well, basically, just to give an overview, the main challenge that we're facing from September to today, and indeed from even last year to today, is the sharp drop in listener support. If you all recall, the network has undergone or underwent from early last year to just these October fund drives a pretty substantial expansion. From about, I think, an overall budget in FY01 of about $11 million to 02 was, I think, 13.7. 03, we were projecting around 15.1 million. Right now, the budgets you are getting is a total fiscal year budget of roughly $14 million. So we're dropping off quite substantially. That $1 million drop in the total budget is a sharp, sharp drop for any organization, but especially for Pacifica. So this is the problem that we're really... So the core of the problem that we're dealing with is a sharp, sharp drop in listener support. And that is leading to the bottom line in these budgets that you're getting, a bottom line of $7,800 for the entire fiscal year, which really means that there is a severe liquidity problem, which involves a number of different factors which need to be addressed in order to restore
network finances along the path of success. We're dealing essentially, again, let me repeat, a sharp drop in listener support all around the network. The Archives Day the other day, last year brought in about 180 in pledges. Thus far, I think we're about 140 in pledges off the other day. BAI, I think you're all familiar with the problem. Goal of 1.2 came in at 800,000. KPFK, goal of 900,000 came in at 750,000. KPFA projecting $450,000 less listener support this fiscal than last fiscal. So we're dealing with a serious problem right now in the network, one that we knew about in September to some degree, but obviously the results of the October fund drives have proved to be even starker than we had projected. We believe that addressing reduced listener support is the key challenge for the network in both the short term and the long term. So not only tonight are we dealing with the budgets as a whole for FY04, but we've also added some resolutions to get us back down on a step-by-step basis to the path of financial success, financial stability at the stations throughout the network, and indeed looking at the network-wide budget. Let me pass this over to Lonnie so he can explain to you some highlights, and then we can take some questions.
Thanks, Dan. I was wondering if everyone can hear me. Got a little bit of a sore throat. Hoping everybody can hear. Okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, first of all, let me just put that bottom line number of $7,800 in perspective. For an organization our size, having $7,800 in a reserve or surplus is tantamount on a salary of $30,000, having $1.40 extra a month to play with. That is, if you're making $30,000, this surplus showing in this budget is only about $1.40 a month extra money. So it's a budgetary issue, but even more severe than the budgetary issue is the cash flow issue, or what I refer to as the liquidity issue. Normally, an organization of our size, as I've said before, 1 month's operating expenses off that $14 million is around $1.1 million or so. That's what it takes to function for 1 month, about $1.1 million, $1.2 almost. That's what's called working capital. And that working capital is needed because this network is operates feast and famine. It's a seasonal business, as we say in finance. And that period between August and November is the season in which the income is fairly low, if existent at all. You need that 1 month operating to bridge the gap between the last fund drive and the end of our fiscal, which is September 30th and the beginning of the October fiscal. Historically, that figure has been at a minimum of around $600,000, $700,000. Yet, $7,800 is a precipitous drop. How did we get there? How did it drop from even last year was $661,000 in our audit to $7,800, which is where we're going now? Well, the first answer is, what happened? Sort of want to know. What I'm seeing is that, of course, listener support dropped by a huge percentage, and it did so in the first quarter. Also, the projected income that development officers could see in the foreseeable future for each station, everyone was predicting a drop. And, of course, it did happen. Even before it happened, people were foreseeing it. They did sort of feel it was going to happen. So people were prudent. That is, the budgets this year, as they came in September, were $700,000 less than they were last year. It turns out, though, instead of $700,000 less in listener support, it turns out it's going to be like $1.3 million. So we're in a situation now, I'll just cut to the chase here, that with BAI situation, with reduced even budgeted listener support, not to mention actual, we'll face a liquidity crisis in January if the other drives don't go well, where the network will run out of money. That is to say, on paper and in fact, we'll be bankrupt. We'll not have the cash to pay staff. Now, some will say, well, is that true for each station? No, it does vary for each station. But what we're talking about is not the individual finances of each station. We're talking about the network and its liquidity. But let's take a look at the stations and see what those numbers mean. For example, you take WPFW, I take a random station, it has 104,000 showing. They do not have that money in the bank. That is the money that they will have accumulated by September 30th. So right now, they have no money in the bank. They plan to have 104,000 and so forth on through.
Did you say September 30th?
September 30th, 2004, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry. They don't have the money. They simply plan to have the money by September 30th. That's what the budget plan outlines. But I'm pointing out the fact that very few of them actually have any cash, surplus cash certainly, in the bank. And that creates a severe, if for example, the drives in January come in at or below these current projections, station by station will go through what BAI is going through. Maybe not as severe, but it will happen. This plan is saying we need to take the first steps once we see this. Not the whole solution. The whole solution is not here on paper, but the first step is to stabilize WBAI. It is to recognize that BAI is not an isolated issue. BAI can drag the entire network down. If they were to continue to lose money at $112,000, the indebtedness that would happen, whether they had the money or not, would drag the entire network down. If the listener support goes down further in January, my God, I'm telling you, it'll move from even stations that have a surplus, let's say take KPFA, they'll be in the awful situation of having to sit there and give up funds they sorely need to support other stations. The solution for one has to encompass the solution for all, because it will go through our entire network. Now, am I viewing with alarm? Am I overstating the case? I'm saying this is probable. Not the worst case. It could be worse. Could it be better? Maybe. People could raise revenue. But let me give you an idea, and I'll shut up at this point, about what a revenue strategy can and cannot do for us at this point. If we were to hypothesize a $500,000 gift to WBAI, that would only last less than a month. Why? Because they already have $150,000 in debt.
Could you say that again, please, Lonnie?
But if for example, at WBAI, Janet, you know, if they were to get a check for $500,000 tomorrow, for example, they already owe their vendors about $150,000, not to mention the national office in terms of central services. They already owe them $150,000. So that $550,000 becomes $350,000. If you subtract the amount in central services and other debts that they owe, you have to take off another $200,000. So all of a sudden, that becomes $150,000. $150,000 would only last them half a month. Their total cost are $300,000 a month. So even with the real optimistic scenarios, someone walking in with a big check, the problem is a $1.3 million problem at WBAI. And for the network, it's a $1.2 million working capital problem. So what to do?
I have a question. This is Lydia Brazon, KPFK.
Yeah.
Is this budget projected based on this low fund drive that we just had, or is it averaged out from all the fund drives we've had this past year?
Well, each station has projected what they think are prudent fund drive numbers for the remainder of this fiscal. So they've redone their budgets from September,
mm-hmm.
and they said, okay, with what we know now about listener support, what's going to be prudent and wise in the way of projecting listener support? Every one of them has gone through that reprojection process.
At the behest of the national office, or was this on their own? In other words, have you said, no, you need to cut your projections down based on the fact that you were, you know, that this drive was a little low?
No, I was working with us as we redid the budget. Remember, from September, the board had asked us to have each particular station have 1 month operating on a prudent basis. Boy, that was fortunate that we did that, actually, because...
Is that in the budget so that when you're projecting for this next year, that reserve is in there?
We did. Some stations have been able to identify 1 month operating reserve, and you'll see it in this budget. That's their bottom line.
Okay.
And some were not able to. And that's, you know, that's a vulnerability.
And I have one more question. Does WBAI, how much did they give to the National in loans on the to pay off the lawsuit debt?
Actually, they haven't been able to pay any of it.
Okay.
They have $50,000, I think, of it. For example, last year, each station, the large stations at least, each one of those three bigger, larger stations had $175,000. That they were going to contribute to debt retirement. BI didn't have the money then. They only were able to contribute $50,000, and they were counting on this drive in October to come up with the remaining $125,000.
Right.
Well, that $125,000, no, they simply don't have.
Yeah, however, there were amounts, and this is probably even before you came, obviously, that were given to Pacifica. I know at KPFK, it's just in the past year, it's been over 300,000. So, it was $175,000 was the recent amount, but, since there was the original changeover, there have been payments made. Plus, we actually paid $400,000.
It may be.
I'm curious about WBAI. In other words, prior to this current amount, which they were unable to pay, is there a significant amount of money that they had previously paid toward the national debt that Pacifica, as the national office, had?
Hi, Lydia. This is Dan. Yes, BAI had been able to meet all of its obligations or make its fair share of contributions.
Up until
just this recent 2 months.
And do you know how much that totaled in loans to Pacifica?
I don't have that right in front of me.
It's on the web page. If you look at Pacifica.org, it shows the actuals through August.
Okay. And is there, and you're still the repayment to the stations on those loans is still 0.5%?
Yes. That was a little complicated formula that we developed, I think, last year at this time, where the national office tried to show some good faith effort in reducing central services. And that was decided, I think, at that time, 0.05%. But fundamentally, I think overall, Lydia, the numbers we're talking about of stations contributing to tackle the old debt is so large, in the millions of dollars, that it would be hard to conceive of at least a day in the immediate future where those funds could be restored to the stations. It would be hard to think of that happening in the next couple
of
years.
Right. I guess that my concern is that those were all came from revenues that the stations were raising from the significant listener support, and yet the projected budget is based on just, on these lower expectations from the recent fund drives, and yet obviously all the stations would have significant reserves were it not for the good faith loan, which of course I support. We couldn't have done this any other way without paying all that exorbitant interest. But that's my concern, is since the quick fix seems to be to lay off people, that that we need to take this as part of the overall picture of revenues that have been coming in for enough to be paying these loans all this time.
Yeah, that was a strategic decision that we as a network made early last year when we were facing that kind of crisis. We all sat down and asked ourselves, how are we going to get out of this? And we all recognized that the engines of the foundation of Pacifica were in fact the stations that had the capacity to raise enormous amounts of revenue, and that's so when we looked at where we were making our cuts around the network early last year, we decided to make those cuts at the national level, keep the pain upstairs, so to speak, so that stations, the integrity of the stations as fundraisers, could be maintained and strengthened if needed. And that was the way that we were going to get out of the immediate $4.8 million problem, which is indeed what in fact happened, much more than any of us had ever expected. There was tremendous fundraising last year, tremendous response from listeners around the country, and that's what's happened. And right now we're pretty much almost finished with that old debt. I mean, there's still quite a little bit of ways to go. But, yeah, that's exactly what happened over the last year.
Okay, so the station is really
Yeah, can we just see if there are other issues that we need to raise? Does anybody else have questions or concerns they want to raise?
Well, this is Janice.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go on the record, I'm really glad that Lydia brought this up about WBAI having, you know, having done their part, you know, in the past, because the phrasing of WBAI will drag the entire network down. I think that's an exact quote. I'm just concerned about that.
I'm sorry, Janice. I shouldn't have put it that way. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Okay, and I'm just glad she pointed that out. That's all.
Well, let me also point out something historical. I looked at the finances for Pacifica for the last 10 years, actually going back to 1991.
Oh, I'm glad you were able to get a hold of them.
Yes, we did.
You looked at the audits?
Yes, from the audits themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And deficits do happen and have happened, as some of you obviously know. And in that context, it was clear the stations help one another. Some stations some years had deficits, some years they didn't. So there was very few stations that that at one point or another did not require help from other stations. That's true from the audit. If you have a deficit, where is that money going to come from? It comes from the help of other stations or certainly from the national, or you're reducing expenses because if you carry a deficit at the audit, that means you spent money that you did not have. And I would say that we've done that with transmitters when a station needed a transmitter. So the history I saw, at least on paper, was one of helping.
Can I ask a question about...
Same thing with RA, too.
One question about that. In the past, we did that. We had reserves to do it from. Is that the difference between now and then?
Yeah. Could that you, Carol?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a difference. There was a lot more money in the system. That stations had not only budgeted surpluses, they actually had cash in the bank that they had carried over from the previous fiscal. See, right now, I figured it out. It's in my presentation, actually. Last year, cash in the bank, that is to say unused money in the system last year, was like $600,000. Before that, it was like $800,000. This particular fiscal, what's going to happen is all stations, if you add up all the money they have in the bank, it'll barely come to $300,000, $200,000 if we're lucky. So you just don't have any reserves. One bad drive, and we will all. how can I? I don't want to sound too alarmist, but we're in trouble.
If I may. This is Dave.
Yeah.
May I? Just quickly, I would like just to propose that I understand, Lonnie, that you're giving us a very helpful snapshot or overview or what have you, report. I know that Dan is there and has information to provide to us. I mean, I've got all sorts of ideas, and many of us on the board do, but I would like to hear from staff the report of the condition completed and then recommendations from staff, because I trust staff has some recommendations. And at that time, I'll forego my comments until we hear their recommendations, and then we can start grappling with it.
And this is Lydia. I would, at the very least, like to recommend that we have a conference call like this one. It only needs to be a short one, if necessary, with all five general managers to see what ideas they're coming up with, how they feel this budget has been developed adequately or not. Historically, some have been here longer than others, although not that much, I guess, now.
I'll second that motion.
But anyway, and I think that would be a very valuable way. Next step is to have the board meet with the general managers by conference call on Bonnie.
Can we just finish then with the overview and
I think a motion has been forwarded. I mean, May and I've seconded it.
This is Teresa. Well,
I'm sorry. We're not at the point of this meeting where we're taking proposals. We're not taking motions right now. But we're just trying to get the information from Lonnie and Dan.
I think the motion is put forward by a member of the body.
No, it's not the agenda. We're on the agenda item of the presentation. Once the presentation is finished, then we can open for...
No, let's get the report. Come on.
Okay.
This is Teresa. I would like to make a comment, though. I would like Lonnie to confirm how much debt have we actually, as the five stations and our associate station and all our affiliates, how much debt have we paid back in the last 18 months through Dan Coughlin's negotiations?
Teresa, this is Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly we had the $4.8 million in the whole January 2002. Mm-hmm. I think about $900,000 we got as an insurance payment. We obviously closed down some big national units, saving us about $1.3 million. I think there was about $2.8 million in professional service firm debt specifically. Most of that, I think we're doing about 50 cents on the dollar, maybe a little bit more, 50, 55 cents on the dollar. I don't have the figure right in front of me. And today I just checked with the accounting department the other day with Lonnie and his team, and they informed me that still the paper debt for the foundation is still $600,000 with that professional service firm debt. So that's how that was basically taken care of, or not taken care of. We still have a little ways to go here, but that's this rough snapshot on the big debt that we inherited early last year.
Does that mean we've paid back $4.2 million? Is that what you're saying?
On paper, yeah.
Hmm.
Of course, they were the result of settlements.
Yeah, we didn't actually pay all those dollars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We negotiated settlements with some of those big firms that they're taking less than they were originally claiming.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that reduces the amount that had to be paid.
So how much have we actually paid out?
Oh, God.
Good question. I don't have the figure right in front of me, but I would say off the top of my head, George, $2.8 million in professional service firm debt. We may be paying out in total off that about $1 million, something like that. So,
this is Teresa. I would like to say, in one way, we're going to beat up on ourselves, and a lot of people have beat up on us, and they said, you know, you're a racist, you know, you're financially incompetent, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know, you can't get it together. But we have, you know, we should acknowledge that we have gotten some things together, and we can get some things together. I just am reluctant to get so depressed by this all, because people are weighing in and saying, you know, Pacifica is, you know, incompetent, or, you know, just name-calling, and that's just... that's just not the whole picture. I just wanted to remind people of that.
Okay, can we go back to the agenda here, folks?
Yeah.
And actually, though, if I might just say one thing before Lonnie and Dan continue. The information that you're giving us, at least the way I've heard it presented, is mostly presented as the core problem being a decline in listener support. And while that may be true in actual dollar amounts, and I don't really know that, because I don't know what the figures, I just haven't had the time to pull out the figures like from the last 2 years. It seems to me that part of the problem is a decline in listener support, and part of the problem is expanding budgets.
Yeah.
So, and could you just comment as you give the rest of your presentation here on the relationship between less listener income in absolute dollars on the one hand and larger budgets, projected need for more dollars on the other hand?
Yeah, that's an excellent point to make, Liz, and I'll certainly do that. I think at the September board, I did touch briefly on it. What we saw over the last 2 years were on the revenue side were, of course, increases from the Iraqi war. Substantial amounts of money in terms of almost $2 million increase in revenue. But what we also saw was that expenses over that period were going up faster than revenue. Salaries up 18%. We saw a huge increase in other, which at that point I pointed out was the debt retirement, $2 million or so in debt retirement. And I used to have those slides. I can pull those out if we need to from that September board. As people saw revenue increasing, the tendency was to ramp up to that new revenue with increases in staff, increases in salary, increases in other expenses. Bulk of the dollars, as you might expect, was in salaries, adding on night people, adding on weekend people, adding on assistants to various personnel in a given station. Some of those cases, you had the necessity to you had emergencies like transmitters and the need to spend funds to upgrade those transmitters. But overall, the picture was, yes, as revenue increased, as so often happens, people spent some of the funds in their heads before it arrived, and those funds were accounted for many times by the time they arrived. Now, what we have here is the exact opposite, is that as the revenues decreased, and they did so fairly rapidly, just over the course of like 4, 5, 6 months from projected, you know, this network produced an enormous amount of money as of, you know, September 30th. But that revenue, which was so exhilarating as of September 30th, 2003, evaporated in the first quarter so quickly around the network, not just at one station, but around the network. For example, KPFA was able to realize $3.6 million for the fiscal ending September 30th, but they can only project this year $3.2. So they're saying that their revenue, as far as their best projections, they'll realize $455,000 less than they did just 4 months ago for the end of that fiscal. So anyway, what to do? How do organizations deal with this kind of problem? There are two or three problems. One of them is what to do about the revenue. Second one is what to do about expenses. And the third is a special case of what about WBAI. So those are the three areas that we felt we had to address in trying to answer the question, what do we do? And, of course, what to do is long-term, short-term, medium-term. So here's some suggestions, and I'll go through them quickly, so that what the intent was. I'm referring to the resolution, and there are just four of them. And these resolutions are the first step. Let me just say there is no permanent solution, but we're seeing in these numbers, at least where I sit, in hand at this point. We don't have a permanent solution. All we have is like a first step quarter solution. What to do over the next 2 months? What to do over the next quarter? That's what these address. Not, you know, what should you be doing right now, preparing for that January period, which, if the drives are down, spell disaster. So that's all this is intended to do, get us through to so that at least we will have the capacity to develop some liquidity prior to the drive and maybe survive a turndown in that period. Item number one, ensure that 1 month operating reserves are in place for each station. The board has already ruled on this. We want to reaffirm it because having the operating reserves is crucial to getting through January for every station. Some stations have done a Herculean task working with us around it. People have done layoffs, not only in layoffs. There won't be layoffs. There'll simply be cases where you don't have the money to pay staff. There won't be a big announcement. You just won't have the money. And we're just trying to plan, be planful around that eventuality. But this says we continue to adhere to the goal of having that 1 month. That's important because even if you have to pay your people, you have to have payroll in the bank on the day that it's due, not, you know, the day after. Point two, that KPFA tried very much to get its 1 month operating. It wasn't able to do it. Their 1 month operating is $300,000. Right now they're at about $180,000. We want to go back and keep trying with
money.
KPFA. That's the point of resolution number two, because we were rushed in that situation, want to keep trying, and they have resources they can call upon. So maybe with more time, they can do it.
Lonnie?
Yes.
One short question.
They
had 200,000 in reserves coming into the fiscal.
Yeah.
And that's not counted here. Why not?
Well, because
address that later if you want.
Yes, I can answer it later, but the idea would be to have the reserves at a point where each station is operating in its income, its current income,
mm-hmm.
so that has to be generated out of current budget.
Well, it does, except for capital expenses.
Yeah. Well, as I say, if we keep working at it, I think AIG does have that capacity. You can do it.
Okay.
Two. I think that we need to be back with you folks around this issue. This is a crisis for us, and we just think that we need to keep you informed, stay in touch. You never know where a good idea will come from. You just never know. So I don't rule out any. You never know. So I think we ought to put our heads together as often as it's feasible to do it, and stick with this problem. Three. This is trying to address an issue around. How, on the revenue side, do you buttress and create new revenue coming to the network? At the same time, deal with an issue that came up. We were seeing that when listener support was down, it was not down uniformly. What was happening from data that was coming from the stations, that people were making appeals hour by hour, that some programs were not down compared to last year and other years in terms of the support they were getting from listeners. It was only some programs where most of that reduced listener support was showing up. So people, it felt like, of course, this is only anecdotal, where people liked the program, they supported it. But they were not giving to Pacifica in general anymore. They were sort of like splitting their votes and giving to programs they liked. And they were not giving as generously as they were to sort of, you know, Pacifica in general. And it turned out that turned out to be quite a bit of money. So this says perhaps we can look at the feasibility of having an additional criteria to the ones we've already used around programming, of looking at revenue generation as a serious component in terms of what a program ought to be looking at. That is to say, how much listener support in terms of that listeners are willing to give their money to keep a particular program on the air. Look at that criteria and see if there can be a way of increasing revenue by focusing on it. Not the only criteria, but at least having that be in the mix. There are some programs have been on quite a while but have no real audience in terms of financial support. So just take that as an additional variable, not the only one, that could be looked at. Now, I don't know how feasible that is, but I do think it's worth a look. In terms of seeing how feasible would it be. Then it says there are shows that are mission-related shows, value shows that the network values, that conceive that they need to be on the air, whether they have, you know, large dollars or not, and then create a process by which those exceptions could be made. And what I did find, and I'll close on this note, is that people have stepped up to say, look, Pacifica's in trouble. And here are some shows I really would hate to see off the air, and they're prepared to donate, sort of. But they also are saying to me, as fiscal officer, that Pacifica's got to get its financial act together. I'm hearing that, you know, as finance person, far too often than I'm comfortable. If I had to boil it down to one sentiment, that would be the sentiment that the bloom is off our rose. You know, they want action from us around, look, show me that you can get your act together. I'm not going to give you any more money. And I'm hearing it for people that are my friendship circle, which is not a Pacifica friendship circle. I really come from a different kind of circle, finance sort of. That would be what I'm hearing. And the last item, four, is the recovery plan for WBAI. In this budget, they show an existing deficit now of $372. But they also have an existing deficit that increases at $117,000 a month. Each month, that clock starts to tick. They have enough money to get through December 31st currently. But in January, that deficit, you have to add another $117,000 minus whatever they're able to raise, and so forth through the rest of the fiscal. I didn't project continuing deficits past January at WBAI, because I don't have any good information about what's going to happen there, except this is the fact. Well, layoffs or no layoffs, whether we pronounce them or don't pronounce them, they will really will run out of money on December 31st. They will not have the money to pay staff. In fact, they'll have a $79,000 deficit in the month of December, because they're still trying to raise money from the October drive. They have a lot of the funds in, but not all of them, and about $400,000 of the $480,000 that they are able to project at this point. But expenses at WBAI are $306,000 a month, so that's 1 month, you know, 1 month and, you know, 15 days. And they have been able to continue this far, because remember, this started in September, as all stations, they're short of cash in September like all stations. They have not paid the central services at about $97,000. Their debt retirement was $125,000. They have not paid that. That's sort of how they've been paying their staff, by not paying vendors and essential services. Altogether, about $100,000 in vendors has not been paid, and essential services for, $200,000 or so. That's how they cobbled together enough money to continue on for the month of December. In January, we're, of course, doing everything possible. People are looking at revenue strategies, going on the air, doing a special drive, looking at donors, looking at special events, looking at whatever. And what we basically said is, let's look at it again in December, December 1st, the 2nd or 3rd, to see how it looks toward that December 31st deadline. If there's revenue, then we continue to struggle on. But if there isn't going to be the revenue, then we have to either lay people off and do it in an orderly way, or we end up simply running out of money. Now, the problem with running out of money, and I'll just close on this note, is that if you, on faith, feel that the funds are going to come in and people work for nothing because there will be no cash, we would then still pick up the indebtedness, because sooner or later people would have to be paid. And if we keep them on, we pick up the liability and we'd have to pay it, and it would come probably out of National. Because BI wouldn't have the funds. And so it's a case of, and no one likes to do layoffs. And God, Christmas, you're doing layoffs. Holidays, you're doing layoffs. Terrible, terrible. But none of the choices are good. None of them are good. If there was one that was could we raise some money? Maybe, maybe, maybe. Could we avoid the layoffs? Maybe, maybe, maybe. But not a real solution. All of those are stopgaps. Not a real solution is in hand. I don't know what to do after that December 1st, 31st deadline. Maybe we'll raise $100,000, maybe we'll raise $200,000, but we have not solved the problem. That buys us 20 more days.
And this is Dan, and what we're saying in the core plan for WBAI, which you all should have received, is that the station at some point, and that point has to be very soon, and this is the same message that the general manager is carrying in the station, has to live within its means. Today, the station, as Lonnie's pointing out, every month that goes by is $117,000. That's a lot of money. And that adds up very, very quickly. And an injury to one is an injury to all. And that kind of effect at WBAI cannot be sustained very long in the entire network, given the liquidity crisis in the network. And therefore, it will be we will all have to share the pain. And we're doing that at the national office with sharp contraction. At BAI, we're looking at that possibility as well. But essentially, we have to live within our means there at BAI, as we do throughout the network.
I have a question. Are we ready for questions yet?
Yeah, I'm finished with that part of
my... Yeah. But let me also, we'll take whatever general questions are up, but there are four proposals or resolutions that Dan and Lonnie are giving us. So, let's take the general questions and then do them one.
Okay, can I get on the stack?
Leslie, just to say, preceding that, of course, is the passage of the budgets.
Right.
Right. Okay, so I have Carolyn and Janice, right?
Yeah, AC.
Okay, I'm looking at the Consolidated Pacifica Foundation budget for fiscal year 2004. And in it, I see the central services that you were projecting that WBAI this year will be able to pay $347,712 in central services.
Yes.
Is that real?
It's a question mark beside it. What it assumes, Carol, is that they will stop, the deficit will stabilize at 372,
mm-hmm.
and thereafter with their reduced support, of course, their central services will be reduced as well.
Right.
So what they know, so what that number ordinarily would be around $580,000.
Okay.
So what you're seeing there is the assumption they can manage central services after they stabilize in January.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming that that 347 number is 20% of the projected listenership of 1.7 million for BAI. Is that correct?
Could you say that again, Carol?
The central services are calculated as 20% of listener support.
And, that's correct.
And I didn't actually pull out my calculator, which is missing, to check that. But is 347 20% of this 1.7 million in listener support at BAI?
Exactly.
All right. So the listener support that they're getting in the first quarter of this year, they're not paying the central services on that.
Yeah, that money is gone, unfortunately. I wish we could get it back, but it won't come back. It's gone.
Right. Okay. So this 347 is not a real number.
Well, it assumes that...
It assumes we're getting money we're not getting already in the first quarter.
It assumes that we will not get the money back from the first quarter, yeah.
Okay, so if that 347 is very shaky...
Yes, it is.
Then I really would feel a lot more comfortable if it were not shown there as income going to the national office, because it just seems to me to be building on a house of cards. We should, to the extent that BAI is in very bad shape, they're just going to need... to be excused from that for this year. That's almost certainly they are, and we should just plan for it, is my thought. That's one of the first things we can do to help them.
Well, no, one way to look at it, though, Carol, is that if they stabilize and go with that core recovery plan that's mm-hmm. on the table, that is, their expenses will be cut in half down to around $175,000 to $200,000,
mm-hmm.
and that would match up pretty the reduced business support they're projecting,
mm-hmm.
and they would be able to pay their central services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan, that if the AI were to, we think, follow that core plan, they would stabilize. Their income would match up with their expenses for the remainder of the fiscal,
mm-hmm.
and they would be able to pay all the bills that are coming their way.
Mm-hmm.
So if the stabilization plan does not work, and we'll know a little bit more on December 1st, then that number becomes even more suspect. You're absolutely right. Then you'd have to revise that. That's why we want to have another look in 45 days.
Well, I'm really very, very concerned about it. First of all, as you mentioned, they are already not paying vendors. And
They skipped vendors for 1 month.
Right.
They're not doing it every month. They only did it 1 month in order to accumulate cash, and that was our recommendation.
Okay.
And then they're in the budget.
Yeah, but Lonnie, can I just kind of get my thoughts out here?
I'm sorry.
If they've already are...
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.
Okay, it sounds like the conference just ended, but I'm going to call in and count on this being a technical problem, if I can find the number. Somebody's calling me. Hello? volunteer from Orlando Sanchez. Sorry for this moment of reality. Okay, this is Otis, and I'm just, apparently we were cut off or something. The chair just does not get to... Anyway, are you guys ready to go back on? Are you ready to go back on? Okay, you're still convened. Okay, you're back on.
David?
Yep.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pete, David, George, Janice,
yes.
Myself. Who else is on?
Carol.
Lydia. Carol, Lydia.
Is Lonnie...
Where is AC?
They're not back on yet.
Pete, David,
we
Carol.
Have Pete, Lydia, David, Carol, George, Janice, myself. Who else got on?
Dan and Lonnie.
So we're missing Teresa and AC.
In future, you know, this is an interesting problem, and I've had to chair a few of these kinds of calls. There must be some way to ensure that if the person chairing has, for some reason, cut off, that the call doesn't end.
I'll look into it, Dave, see what we can do.
Or at least when I'm setting it up, I'll make sure, or when it gets set up, we can make sure that that's not vulnerable.
Yeah.
Can
okay,
I repeat, just for my information, Pete, David, Carol, Lydia, and Janice are here now? Is George on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And George.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Everybody's on except Teresa and AC.
Okay.
So I assume and hope they'll get back on. Sorry about that, folks.
Leslie, Ray couldn't make the call today?
I don't know. He's not on it. I guess that means he couldn't make it.
We're back on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And we're back on the web.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
So, can I maybe go back to where I was?
Yes.
Here's my anxiety, Lonnie, is that I don't think this 347-7 in central services at BAI is a reliable number. It looks to me to be tremendously shaky. And I feel that we would be much more prudent to just cut it out. And that would give BAI a lot more breathing room to get back up on their feet. This is just not going to be an easy process for them, and it's not something I think they can do quickly. And if you cut that out... If you cut that out, then, of course, that impacts the national office by $347,000. And I really think that we need to look at the national office and what our expenses are there. And see if we can make some more cutbacks there, because already it's a deficit of $44,000. And we don't have liquidity anywhere to deal with it if the January drives go bad. And we could be in the same situation at National that we are right now at BAI, of not having... acted quickly enough to prevent a drain that we can't cover.
Carol, this is Dan.
Yeah, so I'm really wanting to strongly suggest, first of all, I know that in September our resolution was that all five stations and the national office try to accumulate 1 month's operating reserve. With the national office losing so much income, I just don't see how it's possible for the national office to budget that way, but to at least budget for a balanced budget without any deficit spending, giving up that $347,000 just seems to me to make an awful lot of sense.
I second that. This is Lydia.
Yeah, we've looked hard at the national budget, and obviously we've reined in expenses, I think, by at least $100,000 since the last September budget. The top four expenses at National, one is Democracy Now. Costs the network $440,000 a year, a little bit more, in fact, I think $500,000. Brings in revenue about $2.6 million, $2.7 million, cash in the door. The number two expense at the National is insurance, $220,000 or so a year. I think we've talked about that a number of times at board meetings, D&O insurance, earthquake insurance, et cetera. Third biggest expense, really maybe even the second, is legal. Cleaning up the mess from last year, basically, or 2 years ago, very high legal expenses. Fourth biggest expense, national board expenses, which, in fact, are probably going to increase next year.
Yes!
I love it.
Thank you, Dan.
For obvious reasons. Those are the four big ticket items.
Except salaries you left out.
Except, of course, salaries. So those are the services that we provide to the broader Pacifica network. Again, I think when we look at solutions, we have to look at solutions to the problem. The problem is listener support falling, and we have to take a hard look at that area. I know people point out a lot of different areas that folks think ought to be cut or can be contracted, and of course we are all doing our best. I'm taking a 15% pay cut effective December 1st in response to the crisis at WBAI. So is the general manager at WBAI. We're making a lot of personal sacrifices and institutional sacrifices, especially at the national office. We lead, and we understand the importance of doing that, and there are substantial cuts here. I think the issue that we need to face collectively is the decline of listener support and try to take action to begin to address those areas, as well as basic prudent financial practice, which you pointed out, Carol, 1 month's operating. Really, in fact, what the BAI crisis shows us is that we should have 3 to 4 months, 5 months, 6 months operating in reserve so that we can weather those kind of crises when they come up in the future.
Could I make a follow-up question, please?
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Dan, from the September budget to the budget in front of us, National has made $100,000 in cuts.
Actually, it's been closer to $200,000. And if you count the foregone central service monies from WBEI, it's about $400,000 already.
Right. Well, I'm just looking at the expenses and what you're doing to try to operate within your income. I hear you say that, and I'm certain that you are absolutely accurate in that statement. But what I cannot see in looking at the budget is what we are foregoing. And that disturbs me. I need to know what positions are not being filled that were budgeted and are no longer budgeted. What is it that we are giving up and not doing this year that we had previously planned to do?
That's a good question.
And that's why I have, and why the board actually last March passed a resolution requesting that the board be provided with a confidential list of positions being funded with the budget, so that we can see what we're funding when we approve the budget. And that information we didn't get in September, and we don't have it now. And that makes me quite uneasy because I just actually don't know what the national office will be doing with this money, what we will be doing in funding our affiliate services, in funding our national programming, in funding our KU operations, in funding the various things that are significant to Pacifica that are done through the national. I can't see in this budget what we had planned to do and what we've cut back and are not going to do, and I just can't tell. And so I want to know. I want to see it.
Let's just respond quickly to that, Lonnie.
Okay, and then we have Janice and AC also have questions.
I'll put Lydia on the stand.
Well, let me just take the central services part of it first, if I can. All of the central service lines are vulnerable. You know, KPFA, we don't know what that will really be. We don't know what W will do because it's all listener support related. Of course, WBAI more so because of their circumstances. But that is the precise crisis. That is, we don't know what national income is going to be. It is vulnerable from every station, although that course is different for each station, the amount of that vulnerability. That is our problem. That is precisely the problem. None of the income for the stations and for the national is at this point without a lot of vulnerability. And not only for the year, as I mentioned, but for January, that's just scary. And yes, you do want to reduce as much as you can. And you want to be in the best possible situation to recover. Say if January is bad, maybe the spring drive or maybe plans for increasing revenue will crystallize and so forth. Now, what to do about staff and expenses at the national, as I'm hearing the question, too. One of the problems in trying to budget for the national, let's just take legal, for example. You can come up with a number in the budget, but you have no way to know if new legal issues will pop up and whether that line will be totally, you know, higher than you thought. Same thing with the insurance is relatively fixed. It's hard to, you know, have less insurance without taking on more risk. So staffing does become the way in which you try to deal with some of the problem. But what happens, and Dan, you can pick it up here, is that you are going to give up certain functions in reducing staff. We've got certain staff positions reduced or eliminated from the national, but we haven't informed the people involved yet because it's premature. So we budgeted for it beginning prudently by the end of December or January, but we're holding to see what will happen at WBEI in the month of December. And if necessary, we'll do exactly what WBEI has done. We'll move our expenses down. We have no choice. We have the same problem they do.
Let me just add a couple quick things. One of the things, as I mentioned earlier, Lydia, when we decided how to tackle the financial crisis of the network, and indeed in line with overall trends within Pacifica where the national is being de-emphasized, a lot of local authority is going back down to local stations in all kinds of different ways, is the national office reduced its size considerably. I think our payroll, and if you look at FY01 audit and compare it to these budgets, is probably down about 20%. The entire payroll of the national office has dropped 20%. That's in contrast to the stations, where probably the payroll has increased. Looking at the September budgets that I gave you, I think the overall network payroll was increasing about 33% from FY01. So what you're seeing happening in Pacifica, the trend that you're seeing, Lydia, over the last several years, and Carol, is a declining national office. Even though central services is still high, because legal expenses are high and the national debt is high, declining size of the national office and much more of that revenue staying at local stations. So when we analyze the problem of listener support, I think, again, you know, we need to look at where the solution is going to be to that problem. And even though you might find 100,000, 200,000 maybe at national office, if you want to cut back on programming or, you know, various areas, it'd be hard to cut back on insurance, don't really want to cut back on Democracy Now!, national services, central services still return for every dollar that is paid to national, you get the stations get back at least a dollar. And therefore, when we look at where the issues are around the system, I think we need to really begin to address the core problem, the drop-off in listener support, and work on and focus on that. Carol, I just wanted to also respond quickly to the question about the positions. I hear your concerns. I know I tried to elucidate some of my concerns today, and what I think the way that we should probably handle that is to call a separate conference call in executive session, because those are obviously personnel and sensitive issues, but they ought to be discussed, and I hear your concerns, and I'd love to be able to work together to resolve those.
good. Then if we can do that within the week, that would be very good because it's quite late at this point.
Right.
Folks, I know that Janice is next. My phone is about to die. I can get on my cell phone, but I'm afraid that in this transition, people are going to get cut off again.
Yeah.
So I'd rather do this in an orderly way, if that's okay with folks. If we all just hang up and call back,
mm-hmm.
I'll call back on my cell phone and then not get, you know.
Leslie, do you want me to be the chair of the call?
That's fine. I still have to get off, so.
All right, I'll do
right,
the chair.
So when I get off, because I am the moderator according to the technology, you're all going to get knocked off.
Okay, so we're going to hang up and call right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Okay.
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.
Well, that'll show you. Let's see. What I'm going to do is we'll play some Gil Scott-Heron and call right back in. Or no, we'll have a moment of reality.
I think we've got Pete. Yes, Pete's here?
Yes.
Lydia, are you here? Lydia, not yet. David?
Yes.
Carol?
Yeah.
George? Not yet, I guess. Janice?
Yeah.
Myself, Teresa, AC?
AC, yes.
Okay, Don and Lonnie. So we're missing George?
George and Lydia.
And Lydia. Well, I think we should continue.
Okay.
Can I put me on the stack?
Okay. I think Janice was next.
Okay, I have a couple of comments and questions. I've been at the station every day. And today I spent some time getting some updates with Don Rojas. And things still don't look that good, although we are chipping away at the amount. Instead of the deficit being I think you guys were saying 380,000. It's like 338,000 now. Fulfillment is at 59.7% on the October drive, he said. People will be putting together, you know, they are working on this plan. Sometimes with this going on, you know, we're sort of looking at reports here. And then sometimes I know for me, I go by anecdotal stuff too. And one thing that people are talking about is that not just salaries have changed at BAI. We have more rent. We used to get a lot of donated supplies. I don't know if you remember that, Dan, where we didn't even have to buy reel-to-reel tape because some company gave it to us. And when the fulfillment, we used to have lower fulfillment rates, but when people started using credit cards, then the fulfillment rates were higher, which is why now we look at fulfillment rates of 70 and 75% as the norm. But there was a time when it wasn't that way. That's not to make an excuse. That's just sort of like a change in the landscape. My second comment is about the listenership being down. Contrary to what our secretary, who sent a letter out to many listeners here in the New York area, I think the term was listeners are leaving in droves. This is why I said we're all going between anecdotal evidence and actual reports. About a week ago, I went and talked to
saw a premiums person and the person who takes care of subscriptions and got some reports on the number of subscribers. And back when the coup was going on, we had gone down to like 13,004. I think it was 18,000 before that, 13,004 went down when the coup people were in. Then when we came back and went up to more than 19,000, something like 19,700. Well, listenership is down 600 people, according to the last report I saw. So that doesn't, to me, indicate that people are leaving in droves. The next point I wanted to make was the point in the resolution, in those resolutions. I'm really concerned, which I see a lot of people expressing concern about number three, about each show having to show that it's self-sustaining with a listener base of support. I think that there are shows that, like the opera show, doesn't make any money here, and the science fiction show doesn't make much money. But those are shows that we don't want to get rid of, so I think we need to have something in addition to this financially self-sustaining criterion to show why somebody's on the air.
Leslie, put Dave on the stack, please.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, I have on the stack here of AC, Lydia, Teresa, and now David.
Can you put Rachel, please?
Sure. Leslie, given the fact that you have issues at BAI, I would rather have what Janet has raised to be discussed before I come on.
Okay.
Because it
so
just go on without discussing it, because BAI is a central.
Well, the main
here.
Thing I'm really concerned about is this really this throwing around of the assertion that listeners are leaving in droves and that people are not are not supporting WBAI. Again, we have the report, and I've got anecdotal evidence from my own from being in the tally room and talking to people who are calling in and pledging. One woman told me that she received Carol's letter and that she said, you know, this is no prompting from me. I didn't know who she was. Her last name was Lichtenstein. That's the only thing I remember. She said, I got this letter from the secretary of the board, and I don't agree with what she said. She said, when you guys came back, I overextended myself to make sure that I could help you get, you know, get back on your feet. And now I'm just coming out of that, so now I'm able to do a little bit. She said, but no, I'm not upset, and I don't know what's going on. I think the other accusation is that the infighting is causing the problem. And she didn't even know what the infighting was. Most people don't know about the infighting. And the infighting basically takes place on the Good Light board and on the Internet with these people sending shit back and forth, sending stuff back and forth to each other with accusations and name-calling. So that's just a comment, and it's something I think we need to think about when we're making these statements to the public.
Okay, are there other comments about the WBAI situation?
Well, this is Teresa. I think that's a very legitimate point. When I hear Lonnie or Dan saying, or anyone saying, you know, the listeners are going away in droves, I'm thinking, our listeners are not going away in droves. They have continued to show report, to show their support. And, I mean, if I understand the tone of what you said, Lonnie, you're saying that you're projecting that listener support will go again down again in January. I mean, how can you say that about KPFT? It seems to me we've found, right now, we're constantly searching for the right program mix to appeal to people, to encourage their support. What makes you think that our listenership will go down?
Oh, actually, I wasn't referring to KPFT.
Okay.
Some stations, their listener support seems to be holding up quite well, and KPFT is one of them. In fact, you guys had a pretty good drive. In fact, a very good drive. I would say the same thing is true about KPFW.
PFW.
Yeah, you know, I said they had a wonderful drive, and that was no accident at TNW. They had a strategy that really did resonate with the listeners. So I don't intend to make a general statement. I'm speaking from a network point of view in terms of the overall network resources. But there are, of course, real differences between the stations. So didn't mean to imply with every station.
But also, folks, we went off SPAC because AC had suggested that we focus on BAI. So are there other comments that people want to make or questions that people have related to the WBAI situation?
I wanted to go back to something about the national budget. So just tell me when that's appropriate.
Okay, not yet. Okay, well, then I want to say something about the BAI situation.
And that I was next, also, that's right.
No,
okay.
I'm after Janet. This is Lydia.
Okay, yeah.
About BAI?
Hello, Lydia. Good to have
no,
you on.
No, not about BAI.
Okay, don't worry. We'll go back to the list.
Yeah, right.
AC, then Lydia, then et cetera, et cetera. Okay, on BAI, again, I want to say what I said earlier. That is, I don't know, because I don't have it in front of me, what the decline in listener support is. And by listener support, I mean dollars coming in. I mean, there's a lot of people who say they support the station but don't actually send in money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the decline is. What I do know, and again, I don't have all the figures in front of me, so I can't recite chapter and verse, but I remember that the budgets have grown over the last several years. So I think the challenge here in terms of solving this problem, and I think that Lonnie and Dan agree with this, is to not only figure out how to increase listener support, increase dollars coming in, but also how to cut back the budget. And I think that's an important piece of the challenge that we have here, and that's certainly true in the national office because of the decreasing amount that national will get because of the less money coming into BAI. And I don't know, and that's probably true or might be true in the future from other stations too. So I don't think it's unreasonable to look at cuts in the budget. I don't think though that that's an all or nothing proposition. I think just as Dan said that he's taking a salary cut and the general manager is, maybe, I don't know what all salaries are at BAI, but maybe some of the other people could take a little bit of a cut. Maybe it's not a question of not paying all the bills to all the vendors. Maybe some get paid. Maybe there's a payment schedule that's figured out. As revenue generating ideas are put into place too. But I do think that looking at the budget, the projected need, is an important part of this equation also. So on BAI, Ray, did you want to say something on BAI?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it was general, it was that I've been speaking to people, I don't have hard figures, but I've spoken to people who coordinate the amount of money that they're taking, and it is clear that what's happening here is a multi-level, multifaceted problem. That definition of some of the money coming is based on some of the same reasons why organizers of anti-war demonstration are having trouble getting people. Not that people don't care, but that either they're tired, maybe they're pausing. Now, that being said, I realize that the problem is real, and I'm not denying it. However, if the diagnosis is wrong, then the prognosis would also be wrong, and we'll remove the wrong organ. So I'm very concerned that we respect the station. I'm not saying that anybody has said anything that would be otherwise, but I'm concerned that we respect that the process that taking place in BAI is a valid one, and that indeed I know of people who have been discouraged. I know people who have been confused by some of the stuff they heard on the air. And I know some of the people who are part of the struggle have, because of their unhappiness, reduced the amount of money that they send to a minimum. But these are rather the people who are closely involved in the political fight in the station rather than the listener at large. So I would say that we should assume, we should give BAI all the chance that it deserves. And I know they're doing a lot of fundraising. I'm not sure yet what the result is. And I understand that built into this remedy is its own contradiction in a way that these are the same folks to whom we'll go again one more time and ask. So in a way, we're increasing the potential for donor fatigue next time around. I realize that. So I do understand that what has to be done partially is outreach that hasn't been done yet. Outreach to really go to new people. And So rather than assuming that, I do share with them that there is conflict and that it surfaced on the air and that maybe some of the party is shared with other folks and so on. But I'm being very positive, and I think that clearly that layoffs should be the last, absolute last resort, and they should be done once I'm assuming that critical staff are identified, that it should be done to a minimum. That's all I have to say for now.
Okay, so let's go back to the list here. I had AC and then Lydia.
Yes. I want clarification on PFW, given that it raised nearly $500,000, and you acknowledge that it has done very well. My question is, I thought I heard you say it has no money. It's going broke or will be broke fairly quickly, and I'd like to have some explanation as to what happened to that budget if it's going to do that. That's the first question, Lonnie.
Yes.
The other question is, I also wonder... This is a wonder, I just wonder to what extent the desire to have a reserve fund, is it some thought being given to the fact that this may be too early in the game after they finish paying off the debt? Is this can be a hardship? Should it be postponed for a year? Should it be... what should happen here? The other thing is the one element that I know nobody likes to hear, but other organizations have done this, because it appears that we need a window here. Have we considered appealing to some of our natural allies for a low, very low interest loan that might help get out of some of this? And I mean by that, I've seen Labor do that before, and so that... that can be addressed. And I think that I mentioned the last time we had a conference call that we should have a parallel strategy to raise funds, and to also, I even went so far as to suggest that that we have a an emergency conference to do that. But even if we can't afford that, we need to have some discussions about revenue development, which you have pointed out today. And I still think we should. And I agree with what Lydia said earlier about having the managers of stations, but I would also like to have the fundraising person on, the development person on at the same time, because I think that there needs to be some exploration as to how we can raise revenues in the immediate future. And I'd like for this to be answered, if you don't mind, Lonnie.
Sure.
And Dan, if you will.
Sure. Let's start with the loans, if we can.
Yes.
Because I've been looking into it, because that's the natural thing to do. What I'm finding is that we have two big strikes against us. In terms of getting what we call a commercial loan or even a private loan, is that our credit rating is terrible, as you probably know, and that our financials, when we publish them on the website, of course, they go have a look. And, what any bank or any financial statement that has some experience is going to say, hey, you don't have any money. You have no working capital. You can't demonstrate the capacity to pay it back. And that's especially with interest. So low interest or no interest loan is something we would certainly love to have, but even if you can't pay principal back, you've got a problem. So we still are interested, by all means, and still exploring some of the possibilities there. On the question of revenue strategy, which is, let's get serious about revenue and bring together our best people, best minds, best thoughts, and see what happens. I tend to think that even in a period of short funds, you have to look at revenue. Even though you have to be very, very tempered, you may not raise a whole lot of money. But then again, have publicized the problem. And I think that you have to let people know what the problem is. It may not lie inside Pacifica. Maybe someone outside Pacifica will be able to come up with a good idea, or even real dollars. So yes, I do think that's a good idea. Why is PFW
have a record drive and not have cash. Well, you know, what they did is they ended up last fiscal, I say, with about $20,000 in the bank. That means they came into this fiscal with only $20,000. So the surplus that they are showing, that is $104,000 or so, is what they plan to raise over the course of this fiscal. And that would be, their monthly operating is about $145,000, so they'll have $104,000. And they just manage that budget. And looking at the second drive, they think they can increase that slightly as well because they think they have a formula that's working for them. So they have, you know, they're doing, from where I sit, okay, they have a plan in place around revenue. They have a strategy. They have a way to address listeners' concerns. They tied their drive to the election, saying get your donations in before the election deadline. So it worked out well for them. I really, you know, feel good about what they did there, to tell you the truth. So there's no contradiction. It's just that they started with fairly low funds and had a good drive, and another one will get them a good working service. Now, can the central services be postponed? That question comes up.
No, not the central service, but the reserve.
The reserve.
The reserve concept. Could that be delayed? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Come up with other stations, too, but it's Peter and Paul that, yeah, you can't. I mean, some stations may not have the money. That'll be that, in a way. It'll happen whether we plan for it or not, sort of. What happens then is that we transfer the problem someplace else, whether it be to the national, and then we'll cut back as much as we can, and then we won't pay our vendors, or we won't pay the attorneys, or we won't pay we'll renegotiate insurance or something. But I do think that we have to, in this precious time that we have in this next month or so, think about solving permanent problems rather than transferring them. So we must have really good solutions. That is to say, I always say, my old boss used to say to me, hey, give me a permanent solution, not one that merely transfers the problem someplace else. So maybe we could come up with one or two good permanent solutions if we just focus and say that's what we need to do. Otherwise, we will indeed be back in 3 months with nothing really solved, merely transferred to somebody else. So that's my fear, is that we will not have given the attention that it's going to take. That we need a good, solid, sustainable, permanent solution to this problem. Otherwise, we will not have solved it. We'll just, as I keep saying, transfer it. So I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I do want to stress we need to get good ideas on the table that will solve the problem. Right now, I am not offering. I wish I had one in hand. Right now, I don't have, on the finance side, a permanent, sustainable source of revenue to compensate for the listener gap. Nothing is coming. And everybody, and I'm talking, we're talking to as many people as possible, don't have it. Not yet, but we need to get it.
Well, Leslie, this is Teresa. I was on the
phone. Well, Lydia is next.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a number of questions. One, Dan, in Houston, you had said that you had planned to reduce the central services to 15%, given your own, the Pacifica national debt. I assume that that's not going to happen, although I would prefer seeing it reduced to the 15% so that when we look at budgets, we see where the real debt is. And it was my same issue as with the loans. I'd like to see that as a Pacifica loan, as a Pacifica debt, rather than painting the picture that it's the stations that have not been able to raise the money. My other issue is the same as Teresa's with KPFK, is that at KPFK, I have seen both in a press release that you put out.
Does anybody else hear music?
I think it's Ray's old button.
Okay, is kind of, a rather down, negative picture of what's happening at KPFK. This is why I recommend speaking to the general managers, is because at KPFK, yes, we raised $750,000 at this latest fund drive for only 10 days. Some of the stations I know go longer, and we had the fires and, you know, the strikes and blah, blah, blah. But over and above that, what I discovered in asking donors is not a diminishment of donor support, of listener support, but rather donor fatigue. And that fatigue came as a result of the summer drive that was specifically added to our fund drive schedule in order to pay off the loan. So what I'm saying is that I think that it's a little bit of a hysterical reaction to a soft drive, which was October, without taking into consideration the other issues, which is we just had one in August, and at least locally here we had the fires and so forth. I think that we have I know that we have listener support many times what we did before, and we've increased by 10 to 13,000. To cut back in staff is just foolhardy by any standard of business management, because as we have increased the listeners, you need people to start taking all of the phone calls. Plus, we have gone through this whole phase of democratizing the network, and so you have far more listener participation in activity at the station, community events, all kinds of things that we didn't have before, including, of course, the election and budget and so on and so forth. But it is not because of a diminishing listener support, in my opinion, certainly not at KPSK. And I really think it does not do well. It is not good for the network to be projecting that. Anyway, so that's one. And then the other thing is, let me see. I think that's about. That about covers it. Oh, no, one more thing. My other point with that is that historically here at KPSK, anyway, we would increase in listeners every fund drive, but then we weren't able to sustain them. And the wonderful thing is that since last spring of 2002, we've had this tremendous increase where our fund drives were never like more than like 500,000 or something. Now it's routine for us to expect close to a million. And but the listeners haven't gone away, and that's huge. So I absolutely think that you're cutting us all a little short here. I really think that it's going to be, you can't bank it on one. I would say if you had two regular fund drives that were this soft, then you can start talking. But I don't think that's true just based on one.
I want to get this stack, Leslie.
Okay, so. I have in the stack I have.
Can I just quickly respond?
Yeah, I just want, after you respond, I have Teresa, David, and then Carol.
4624.
Oh, man.
All right. Is Ray, I'd like to ask, is Ray on the phone right now? No, I think that's Ray's hold button.
All right, well, when he gets on again, we'll ask him.
Could you please?
Okay, Teresa is next. I'm sorry, Dan was going to respond.
Okay, I'll try to respond over the music. Yeah, Lydia, no chance that central services will come down in the foreseeable future. I know Word and the national office have been working on that issue, but right now, obviously, it's tough. In terms of the overall picture of the finances of the foundation, I share Lonnie's assessment that we're in a clear situation that is going to affect not just certain individual stations, but the entire network. We should not have any illusions about the problems. As Lonnie is saying, at least one of our stations is running out of money and they won't be able to meet payroll. The liquidity crisis is absolutely serious in the foundation. $7,800, not acceptable for any organization to have that as a surplus for an annual budget of the size that we're at. Something that the auditors can routinely point out. It's something that the CFO and the finance people routinely point out. I think we have to be prudent. I think we have to be measured in our response, of course, but we also have to face reality, not just at WBAI, but the financial state of the network, where we are looking at a substantial drop-off of listener support for whatever reason. But we have to make the adjustments necessary within Pacifica, in my view and the CFO's view, to live within our means and to make sure that we're able to survive as a network and to make the painful decisions today so that we're here in 10, 20, 30, 40, another 50 years. So I hear your concerns, but the information that we're getting from the CFO, the information that I'm sharing with you today, the discussion about the severe liquidity crisis and the issue of functional bankruptcy, as Lonnie mentioned, is real. And we all have to understand that. Seriously, there's been a tremendous expansion in the foundation, and it's so hard to contract. It's the hardest thing to do. It's so easy to expand. It's so easy to rack up our credit card bills. It's so easy to buy. It's so easy to get a new person on staff. Those things are the costs are ballooning, as we know. Even in September, we were reporting 18% increases in expenses, but only a 12% increase in revenue. And at that time, I reported, this is big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. We have to wake up and understand that with the way that this foundation is going today, it is going south. We have to understand we're going in the wrong direction financially. So I want to don't mean to raise my voice there. I just wanted to make the point that we all understand that we have to take action to in my view, change the direction that we've been heading in over the few months. I think Lonnie has made some excellent, and the business managers and the general managers really would like to thank them and acknowledge their hard work and support. They've done